Thank you for listening to this lesson presented by Reverend Millage Mosby. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you, and we continue to hold you in the light.
All right. Again, I just want to say this for our web audience that's going to be listening to this, that we're in a new location, 2614 Kin Hill Drive. So those who are watching on the web, when you come to see us, that's where you'll find us, in our wonderful new location. So, man, what did you guys do last Sunday? You know, I love the neighborhood I live in. If you've ever been to my house, I have a huge horseshoe, our house. I still haven't learned yet, have I? Yeah, I was good for a while, yeah. Anyway, we have a big horseshoe driveway, and but you know, we live in a farming community, so the neighbors have every tractor John Deere has ever made. And so they come through and they do the driveways and they do the street, and it's just wonderful to have neighbors like that. Yeah, so yeah, it's great. So we're back and we are starting this series on prosperity thinking. And remember, prosperity thinking is not just about money. It's just about all of life in general. I mean, you know, this was the cruise we were on was Pam's work cruise. That's a funny thing to say, isn't it? Work cruise. Is that an oxymoron, a work cruise? But, you know, we had, what, 54 people. You know, you have to be at least 60 to be in the group of seniors. But we had a lady that celebrated her 93rd birthday, and I wouldn't have known it unless she had said something. I mean, she's full of energy, doing her thing, you know. And that's prosperity, you know. Age and health and all those things work together. Are we good, Diana? Okay, so anyway, so the series we're going to do is called Prosperity. It's okay. We're in this Prosperity series, and the title is Prosperity is Our Divine Inheritance. So being prosperous in terms of whether it's financial, health, relationships, the perfect job, whatever that is in your life, those things are our inheritance. We were born to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. And so we're going to talk about the practicality of how do I move into that consciousness that where I'm always drawing good to me, okay? Now, you know, as I was creating this lesson, the thought came to me as to how contrary this spiritual journey is to our present way of thinking. Contrary meaning opposite in nature. Like when Jesus said, do not worry about your life. Well, that's contrary to the way that we think. We worry about our life all the time, right? And so that's what I'm saying. So this idea of contrary, and that's why trying to grasp these spiritual ideas requires a willingness to let go and be reborn into a new mind. Now, you know, we hear that. We've heard that in church all of our Christian lives, this idea of being reborn. But the concept is not really foreign to us because we are reborn continuously. We're reborn as we move from, you know, an infant to, and what comes after an infant? A toddler. And then from a toddler to what's the next one? Child, okay, then right, and then to a teenager. Right, that's a whole nother consciousness, teenager, right? Right? You know, and then a young adult, like, you know, the kids that I have at the college, you know, are 18 years old. I do have some kids in my class that are 15, 16, 17 years old because the college is doing this combined thing with high schools, you know. So, but, you know, we know what it is to be reborn. You know, as we keep moving through life, something new is coming into our consciousness. So scripture describes a path to letting go and being reborn to a new mind as let there be light, meaning let there be understanding, all right? So this idea of being reborn is I need to move into a consciousness where I can understand this higher level information that's being shared with me. and understanding is paramount to our quest for spiritual enlightenment. As truth seekers, we're striving to understand who is God and what is my relationship with this universal consciousness, right? And how many of us have longed to really know what Jesus meant when he said, I and the Father are one, right? And remember, you've heard me say before, when he said that term, I is really God, and Father is God. So Jesus was never talking about impersonal self. You get what I'm saying? There's a movement in consciousness where he got to a point where he didn't know where he left off and God began. Right now we feel this is me and that's God and we're separate, which we know is not a reality. Because God is what? Omnipresent, meaning everywhere present as a presence. There can never be a space where you are and God is not. All right. So, you know, we want to really know what he was feeling when he said, I and the Father are one. You know, and a thought to contemplate as truth seekers, do I really know what it is I'm seeking? You know, I'm a truth seeker. I'm seeking to understand the truth. But what am I really seeking? And I think if we get real with ourselves, we'll discover that we really do not have a clue as to what it is that we're trying to connect with. You know, what is this concept we call God really? Now, a typical response would be, well, I want to live my life more fully from spirit. That's what New Thought people will say a lot of times. I want to live my life more fully from spirit. However, I think what we really call living from spirit is a combination of living from our ego's perception of a prosperous, healthy, material life sprinkled with a little spirituality. Okay? Because just think right now, if your life is going well, you know, money is coming in, you know, things are going great, you're saying, oh, God is good, right? But if that somehow that money disappears and, you know, and things are not good, do you still say God is good? Because God is good, what? All the time, all right? And basically, there's nothing wrong with this idea of striving for the material life. Because that's all we really, striving for the material life, because that's all we really know at this time. You know, you wake up in the morning, and that's all you're thinking about, is a material life. Whether it's the fact that you got to clean up your house or, you know, clean up the driveway, get in your car, go to work. I mean, whatever it is, it's always really the material life that dominates our thought process. And again, this is not a criticism of our present state of consciousness. Rather, it's just a reality check we need to make about ourselves and our progress as we move along the spiritual path. So as you're moving along the spiritual path, you want to keep checking with yourself. Where am I really in this process? You know, where's my thinking really? Where's my emotional state really as I'm moving in the spiritual path? Now, let's face it. In the world in which we live, it only seems practical to seek material prosperity and well-being first. Right? Okay, it is the nature of the material life to go after material things first. But as it's expressed in Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added unto you. Okay, now, that's why we were saying in the beginning that the spiritual path is contrary to how we think now. Is that making sense? So we're just trying to get an understanding of where is our mindset really in this moment. So we are indeed trapped in a material world of thought, word, and action, meaning we think about the material life, we talk about the material life, and most of our daily activity is centered around getting and gaining more of the material life. You turn on TV and it's just talk show after talk show after talk. I said to Pam, these people find they can talk forever about nothing. Am I right? You know, could you ever turn on the TV one time and see people just sitting there meditating? No, being still, getting centered. So without the remembrance that we each are an individual expression of the divine, everybody with me, right? We are an individual expression of the divine. A lot of times, you know, especially in the Christian faith, we forget that we were made in the image and likeness of God. All right? Jesus said when the Jews were challenging him, he says, but it says in your scripture that we are sons and daughters of the Most High. So we each are an expression of God. We are the eachness of the allness, the individual expression of the divine idea. So when God made us, there was no, you know, Home Depot for him to go to and get parts. God can only make us out of God's stuff. Does that make sense? Okay. So, but because we don't remember that, we cling to that which is easiest to know, acquire, own, and possess, and that's the material life. Okay. But, and this is a big but, it is incredible how even though the material life on the material world mesmerizes us, holding us in a materialistic grip, there is still this pulling at our heartstrings and our soul to seek a greater meaning in our life. So even though you have all this stuff, you just kind of go, but there's got to be more than this. And how many people really, you know, say, oh, man, I can't wait till I get this stuff, whatever that is, you know. And after you get it, you're all excited about it. And after a while, what happens? Kind of goes away, and you want some other stuff, all right? And so you get to a point where you say, there's got to be more to life than this process. It's like, you know, if you ever been down to, in December, we went down to Fort Lauderdale, and you take the ride down the waterway by the Millionaire Row. You know, they had this one house where the guy, he drove, the guy brought his wife, they went out and he brought him to this mansion on the waterway, and she goes, we don't live here. And he handed her the keys, as we do now. And it was a, you know, $20 million house. They had an $11 million house next to they bought, and they tore that down so they could build a guest house. You know, I mean, that's like... But these, you know, these are self-made people. I mean, I think that was the guy who started the porta potty business. You know, so they started from scratch, you know, and built it. But, you know, you get stuff, and you say, just more and more stuff. You know, so... But the key is, even when you have that, I think a lot of times we still feel empty, okay? So, and you know, don't knock it. How many people like to have an $11 million house on the waterway in Fort Lauderdale? Let's not get past that, right? Right? Yeah, so, but, you know, the idea is here is really trying to get a sense of the greater essence of who I am. You know, when Pamela and I were on the ship, we were... we were sitting on our balcony, and we were looking out at the ocean. And Pam said she had read somewhere that just staring at the ocean is a form of meditation because it is so vast, it's so infinite, and so calming, you know, that there you can't even conceive of all that there is when you're looking at it. So it just kind of draws you into this idea of infinite nature of my own self, being absorbed in that which I'm looking at. So the question to ask ourselves is, where is our heart? All right, Jesus used that term when he said, you know, do not build up your treasures on earth, but build them up in heaven, because wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So the question is, where is our heart? Is it focused on gaining more material stuff, which is earth, or are we gradually turning towards greater spiritual understanding, which is heaven? That keeps our spirit, mind, body, and soul well and at peace no matter what is happening in our lives. Does that make sense? You know, and again, you know, you've heard me tell the story a million times how, you know, Pam and I've had twice where we lost everything. But I can remember that time we were leaving Detroit and they had taken everything we had and we put a little bit we had into a U-Haul. The kids were 2 years old and 4 years old. We drove, you know, to my mother's house from Detroit. But we were still what? We were still happy. We had each other. You know, that's the mindset that we want to talk about. Now, spiritual understanding is really our nature, right? And spiritual understanding is our true nature, and that true nature draws more prosperity, health, and well-being into our lives. So if we can switch into our true nature, then that we seek will come to us. So seek ye first the kingdom. Remember, the kingdom of heaven is not a geographical place. But Jesus said it's a consciousness. It's the way you think. It's the mindset that you're in. And we're going to talk more about how to get into that mindset. Now, again, let's be clear. We're not saying that that striving for a prosperous life is not a good thing. Is everybody clear with that? Okay. Remember, the title of this series is Prosperity is Our Divine Inheritance. So being wealthy and what, however you define that, does that make sense? Being wealthy and however you define that is our inheritance. Now, what we're investigating in this is this process of when we're living in the material life, how do we develop a spiritually prosperous consciousness? So if you bring a lot of material stuff into your life and some reason it goes away, if you are upset by that, it means you're not mindful of the fact that you had developed the consciousness that brought it into your life in the first place. You get it? So if it goes away, the fact that the material stuff went away shouldn't take away your consciousness that brought it to you in the first place. Does that make sense? Okay, like the guy who's a multimillionaire, and they said to him, when did you become a millionaire? He said, I was a millionaire when I was homeless and sleeping on park benches, because he had the mindset for it, okay? So we want to develop this spiritual consciousness that can keep our mind free of despair and worry if we should lose what we possess, that can heal our body if it becomes physically challenged, that can calm our anger and our contentiousness if our relationships are confrontational, that fills us with faith if our sense of well-being is suddenly threatened. That's prosperity, all right? Now, Krishna, who's the author of the Bhagavad Gita, he said, the way to enlightenment, healing, peace, and understanding is to learn how to perform every thought, word, and action sacramentally. How to perform everything that comes from you, perform it sacramentally. Now, meaning how learning to live, breathe, and have your being in this sense that you are always in an awareness of God's grace. I'm always in God's grace. So like last week when we got into the airport at almost 9 o'clock, and it was a snowstorm, and we had a prepaid thing to take Super Shuttle to get home, and the lady came out and said, but it's snowstorm. She says, I'm sorry, but we can't get any drivers. And so it was about 8 or 9 of us sitting there, and we just sat there, and a little young thing next to me, I use the word young for a reason, she says, well, Uber says that he can take me to Baltimore. So I said, Uber? So I took my phone, and she just grabs my phone, boom, he'll be here in 5 minutes. Oh, okay, right? And literally, I don't know, what did they stalk people? I mean, it's like, it was a snowstorm, in 5 minutes he was there to pick us up. You know, really nice guy, and drove us slowly on home safely, you know. So, but that's the thing I'm saying. No matter where you are, if you remain in God's grace, the answer comes, okay? So God's grace being, what is God's grace? It is the divine influence which operates within us to regenerate and sanctify, make holy, to inspire virtuous impulses, and to impart strength to endure trials and tribulations. Now, if you didn't get all that, I'm going to give you some more definitions of it, right? So grace is that which lifts us up out of the path of karmic repercussions and places us consciously in God's loving care. So you heard that what goes around comes around? And I know, I'm sure I'm looking around the room, almost every one of us have done things in our lives that we wish we hadn't done. Am I right? Okay. Now, if there's some of you who haven't done, you might as well leave now. You don't need to hear the rest of this. But every one of us have done something in our lives that we wish we hadn't done. And, you know, what goes around comes around. But God's grace lifts you up out of the karmic repercussions of that which you have done. Now, what you have to understand, it lifts your consciousness up. You get me? It lifts your consciousness up, because now you're no longer in a place where you could do that kind of thing. How many people are in a place where they could no longer ever do something they may have done earlier in your life? You get what I'm saying? So you're in that consciousness. Now, so it's not, don't be doing something ugly and say, okay, God, lift me up because it's coming. All right? It don't work that way. All right? Is that you have to, the evolution of your mind and your heart and your soul and your spirit, you move to a place where you're no longer in the path of those repercussions. So, again, the idea here is that, you know, you might ask, well, what can I do to access God's grace? The answer is, it is by living sacramentally, meaning living in a state of awareness that everything you are thinking, speaking, doing is in the grace that God is. is by coming to know that grace is your natural state. Okay? Now, you access grace by knowing it is innately within you and around you. Every encounter in your life is presenting you with the opportunity to practice surrendering yourself to God's grace. That, did you ever hear that? So no matter what's going on in your life, instead of saying, oh, woe is me, why is this going on? Now you go, oh, it's because it's trying to awaken me to God's grace. You get it? I don't care what it is that's going on in your life that may be challenging your peace and well-being. It's there because it's trying to wake you up to God's grace. That's powerful to understand, isn't it? All right? And as it's explained in our commitment form, every year Unity Worldwide Headquarters has a theme for the year with a monthly affirmation to reinforce that theme. Now, the affirmation for this month, the month of January, is grace is an upward pull of the universe, lifting me to the heights of my divine nature. Isn't that powerful? All right? Let me sit again. Grace is an upward pull of the universe, lifting me to the heights of my divine nature. So it is through grace that the question why, you know, the why questions of life are revealed to us. And we all have why questions. You know, why am I going through this? Why? We're always asking, we're even though we're grown, we're still like the little kid that asks you why every second about something. Am I right? Okay? And we might not ask each other, but we're always asking the universe. You're sitting in your car going, why am I, you know, am I right? Okay? So those why questions are the very nature that pull grace into our lives, okay? And help us to become aware of the presence of God, not only in ourselves, but in every person that we see. All right? That's the challenge. And when we were sitting on the cruise ship and we were somewhere, oh, we were sitting watching people going by this way, right? And I said to Pam, you know, God really chose a lot of interesting disguises. Am I right? You know, every shape, form, color, nationality, everything. God said, let me try this. Let me see what it's like to be Sam. You know, right? You know? Yeah, right. And it's amazing when you begin to understand that and for people who are new to us, that might be a challenge, but I'm God looking at God, and God is looking at me, okay? I am the Christ expressing. And remember, Jesus was very clear that he was not the only one. When the disciples asked him to teach us how to pray, he didn't say, my Father. He said, our Father, which says that we are all sons and daughters of the Most High. And as we said many times before, this moment is the only place that you can find God. This moment is the only place that one can know God. And if you're not mindful of God in the moment, you are not establishing a sense of oneness with God. Being one-minded, God-minded, is living life sacramentally. And it is what brings into your awareness the visible forms of God's invisible grace. And let me say this again. It's what brings into your awareness the visible forms of God's invisible grace. The invisible is constantly trying to become visible. The unmanifest is constantly trying to become manifest. That which God is constantly seeking to push into three-dimensional physicality. The fourth dimension is always trying to become into the third dimension. So when you say, this is what I need, that which you said was, oh, good, let me move into this dimension in that which you just asked for. It's a constant, instant thing. The fact that we may not see it or experience it is because our mind is not letting us do it. You get what I'm saying? So when you ask, at the same time you're asking, you have to develop the mindset to be open to receiving it. You have to have the heart, the spirit, the soul that says, I am worthy of receiving this thing I just asked for. Because as soon as you ask it, the invisible goes, oh, good, let me move into this dimension. Are you at least hearing that? You don't have to understand it, but at least hearing that's the process, how it works. And, you know, in a prayer like, I want to be healed. I want to be healed. That is futuristic in nature. It places the one praying mentally outside of the awareness of the now presence of God's grace, which is always right here, right now, active in your life and affairs. You don't want to say, I want to be healed. You want to say what? I am healed. It's like, how many people have heard me tell the story about Eric Butterworth said that this woman had a maid, and she was a very unity, New Thought person. Her maid was sick, and the woman was going away. She said to the maid, stand in front of the mirror every day and say in the mirror, I am whole and well and healthy in God's care, and I will always be in God's care. And he gave us this pretty long affirmation. So she came back, and the woman was great. He came about 2 weeks later, and the woman was all healthy. She says, did you say the affirmation? She says, no, I didn't remember that information. I just looked in the mirror and said, oh, hell, I'm well. But she, it was affirming her prayer, right? She affirmed her wholeness, okay? So, and when you say, I want to be, it's presented as a materialistic request rather than a spiritual request. Material requests are, by their nature, future-oriented, while spiritual requests are known by the true student as being available right here, right now, filled with grace. Okay, so it's a knowing. And again, what is grace? It is God's eternal gift to us, as it's revealed in Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Now listen carefully to what this is saying. For by grace you have been saved through faith. However, this is not your doing. It is the gift of God. Not because you did good works, so you cannot boast about it. For we are God's workmanship, created anew in Christ Jesus. So the key to grace is faith, right? And so when the grace comes upon you, you can't say, well, I did that because I had faith. No. You know, it's holding the right mindset. An affirmative prayer such as, I am healed, places the one praying in the center of God's healing grace, regardless of what your body may be experiencing. So you say, well, I've been saying I am healed, but I'm still feeling this. That doesn't matter. You have to say it until your mind, your soul, your spirit gets it. And when your spirit and soul and mind get it, your body can't help but to follow suit. You know, anybody who's in the gym or does an extreme sport have had times when you might have been trying to get that bench press or whatever, and it was coming down on you. There's nobody to spot you, and your mind said, you have got to do this. And your body did what? Responded. Okay? So that's the key, is you got to get your... So you can't just say, well, I've been saying it, but nothing's happening in my physical being. You have to say it until it happens in your spirit. Okay? Now, as Krishna said, you must perform every thought, word, and action sacramentally. Now, to repeat, a sacrament is a visible form of invisible grace. A sacrament is a visible form of invisible grace, meaning grace is God's love made visible in your life and affairs. Now, the only way God's grace can be made visible in our life and affairs is through us. God can only do for you what you allow God to do through you, okay? So to become aware of God's love, we must perform every action sacramentally, meaning in the conscious awareness that we're in the presence of God's grace. That means when that person cuts you off in traffic, you have to just bless them. You know what I'm saying? You know, you have to constantly be in that mindset. Now, grace is also defined as the natural state of our spiritual self. Grace is the natural state of our spiritual self. Our spiritual self would not pray, I want to be prosperous, because in our spiritual state, we would know that we are already prosperous. Our spiritual self would not pray, I want to be healed, because in our natural state, we know that we are already whole. Okay? It is the difference between trying to know something is true and knowing that it is true. Okay? Now, it is the ego self that has forgotten the truth about our true self. It's the ego self that's forgotten the truth about our true self. Okay, there in Krishna's work in the Bhagavad Gita, they talk about when you say, I am upset, or I'm angry, or I'm worried, or I'm whatever, that's a statement of illusion, because this I am that you're talking about does not really exist. See, that's the challenge. You know what I'm saying? This is a facade, a mask that I've created because I can't remember who I am in truth. That's challenging, isn't it? All right? And so, you know, this idea, to say we have fallen from grace. The ego self has fallen from grace because it became entrenched in the density of material thinking. So our ego self prays, hoping for future gain of money, healing, or whatever, because it feels it needs it and doesn't understand its connection to it. Okay. Now, our greatest dis-ease is not knowing that we are indeed divine, which translates into meaning, I am already whole, I am already prosperous. And, you know, even doctors are getting to the place where they're beginning to understand that the body has a greater chance of healing itself without medicine and surgery if the person can get their mind to work on that. So I think I told you the whole pain management thing now is that, you're going because you have a pain. Instead of them giving you a drug or, talking about surgery or whatever, they will send you to a physical therapist or what is that other one called? Physio something, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, there's another one that specializes in creating this mind-body connection, but they also have not a knowledge about how the body works. And so they're saying, instead of me giving you a drug, I need you to do these exercises. Yes, I know these exercises are painful, but they will get you where you're going much better than me giving you this drug. So they're beginning to understand there's a whole dynamic, that's working. The body has the ability to heal itself. So sacramental thinking awakens us to the truth that we live, work, breathe, play, relate to each other in God's grace. So when you become angry with somebody, because that's going to happen, right? You're not going to walk. We are not going to walk out of here and say, I got it. Something's going to happen. It's going to throw us off. We have to say, whoa, but I'm doing this in God's grace. Do I want this that my ego is playing through, or do I want to settle down and accept God's grace? Okay. And when we perform every action sacramentally, free from all attachment to results, we develop a prosperity consciousness in which every prayer we pray is immediately answered and every action for material gain is immediately rewarded. You get it right away. Like the young lady sitting beside me said, oh, no, you're not. No, here, just do this. All right? But you have to be open to that kind of thing. All right? Now, the purpose of the spiritual path is to do the prayer work necessary to move our consciousness from that which is dense to that which is less dense. Okay, now follow me with this. It has been said in the Bible that the Bible is the evolution of humankind's understanding of God. Remember, back in the Old Testament, to please God, they were burning up stuff, burning up lambs and cattle and burning up everything because they thought God would be happy with that. Then it comes a little further, and they said, well, no more barbecues. Let's do this, And it kept moving until it came to the time of Jesus, and Jesus said, no, you don't have to do any of that. Right, the Father is instantly available to you. Okay, so it's a movement of humankind's understanding of God. Now, what the Bible is depicting is the evolution of humankind from dense consciousness to less dense consciousness, meaning we are progressing from a consciousness that allows little to no light to enter to a consciousness that allows more light to enter. You all right? You get me? So, right in the beginning of Scripture, it said, "Let there be light." So right in the beginning of Scripture in Genesis, we're being told that if you want to understand who I am as God, you have to operate with a less dense consciousness. Is that okay? Now, have you ever heard the expression, why are you so dense? Right? The dictionary defines density as being thick, hard to penetrate, that which permits little to no light to pass through because of compactness of matter. Now, to help us understand this idea of making our mind and our body less dense, answer this question. Do you think anger, fear, worry, stubbornness produces more or less dense consciousness? Okay. What about love, compassion, forgiveness? Less. You get the practical nature of it? So if you're operating in a fear mode, remember it's only fear or love. If you're operating in a fear mode, you're creating density within you. And so you create this density and then you all of a sudden you're going to be pious and say, oh, God, could you help me with so-and-so? And God says, yes, But we're so dense that we can't receive it. And when somebody says, why are you so dense? It's because you're trying to say something to the person, they're not getting it. They're not getting it, they're resisting getting it. You get it? So you say to God, this is what I want. God says, boom, here it is. But you don't get it because we're operating from a dense consciousness. All right? So the idea is contentiousness blocks light from entering into your mind, your body, your life, your affairs, allowing you to have more, be gentle. You just want to operate from a space where you're doing good to yourself. You're letting the light of God come in. Okay? Now, prayer, meditation, spiritual contemplation helps loosen us up from being immersed in dense matter thinking. By rearranging the atoms of our mind and body, making us less dense and more susceptible to becoming aware of God's grace made visible in our life and affairs. And that prayer, meditation, whatever, it's got to be what works for you. So if you like sitting and looking at the ocean, do that. If you like working in your garden, do that. If you like going for long walks, do that. Whatever puts you kind of in that mindless, peaceful state. You don't have to sit in meditation in lotus position. Most of us couldn't get in it, and if we got in it, we couldn't get back out of it. So we don't want to do that to ourselves, right? But you get what I'm saying about this prayer meditation thing? And remember, and again, this is my Jesuit friend at the college. He sent me something I sent back. We kind of got into this discussion about God does not understand words. The only thing God understands is silence. Okay, just pure silence. However, if you spend a lot of time, listen to this, in prayer meditation, and if you insist on holding on to your resistant way of being, you're still not allowing divine light to enter and loosen up the density within you. All right? We must learn how to surrender to God's grace by allowing more light to enter and loosen up the density within us. So anything that's going on within you that you have been holding on to, you want to let go. You want to do the work necessary to let it go. Okay? And whatever that work is for you. Now, blessings come easier to a mind that is less dense, a mind that is more easily allows the light of divine love and spiritual understanding to shine upon it. Now, and that, just being less dense is just being open to and receptive, not judging right away this situation that you're going through, that you're just being. It's not that you're being okay with it, because then you're still involved in it. It's that you're just being. Somebody says, what's going on? Really? I'm just being. Yeah. Now, up to this point, we have lived our lives as a testimony to what we do, right? What we possess, what position we hold, like at the college. People love to call themselves Dr. So-and-so. Okay? And so it's, we relish in those accomplishments. And it's, again, we're not knocking any of that. You get what I'm saying? But it is time that we begin living our lives as a testimony of the light. And each action that you perform each day, get into the habit of asking yourself, am I holding this moment as a holy sacrament, a visible form of the invisible grace of God? Okay? And exhilaration of continuously working in every moment to broaden the space between the atoms in your mind and your body to allow more and more light to enter will create a spiritual revolution that will lead to a divine evolution of your mind and your body and of those around you. Because as you become less dense, the people around you become less dense. Because we're great conductors in our lives. We ask questions and we conduct the answer we want. Am I right? We infer the answer we want in the question itself. Okay? But the thing is, when you stop becoming a conductor of all this out here and only just become still within, just in that moment of stillness, you begin to break up the density. You get me? Now, the key is, any moment you do will break up the density. Yes, we go out into the world, and the world is challenging, right? I mean, let's be honest. So some density comes back, right? But the more time we give to just being in the stillness, in the silence, we create more, less and less density within us. And so when we go out into the world, even though some density is going to come back, it never takes us back to where we were. And even Jesus left the crowds to go up to the mountain to get away. Like, these people are getting on my nerves. I got to get out of here for a minute. Right? Okay? So, each moment you give to God by placing your awareness of God's grace and love will loosen the density of your mind and body, allowing more light to enter. The more light that enters your mind and body, the more aware you become that all that which you desire is already yours, whether it's health, prosperity, harmony in your relationships, whatever. So that's seek ye first the kingdom. So seek ye first the kingdom is not a big religious thing. It's a quiet thing. It's a stillness thing. It's breaking up the density so you can receive more light. That light that you're receiving is the kingdom of God. You get it? So as you receive that more light, that understanding in your mind of what is going on, you know, why the people in your lives are the way they are, you know what I'm saying, all the things we go through, you get to where you're just you. Just peaceful, okay? And you will be healed of a notion that you're not already healed. You will be healed of the notion that you're not already prosperous. You'll be healed of the notion that there is disharmony in your relationship. All that will be removed from your mind. So just remember that when things seem difficult, when you feel bogged down with some of the burdensome thoughts and situations, it means that the thought atoms in your mind and body are too dense. You literally and spiritually need to lighten up. Okay? So I want to leave you with this thought. I think I got this from you, hon. This is a prayer for 2019. I pray that during the year 2019, we will learn to talk less and listen more, plan less and do more, complain less and encourage more, worry less and hope more, doubt less and believe more, frown less and smile more, hate less and love more, and have more confidence in ourselves, gaining more understanding, but most importantly, express more gratitude. Amen.